So we're just going to kind of start the show because we hear that Dr. Huggins is on the way. Or Dr. Cousins. Huggins.
Know the Source on One Radio Network.
Okay, I see the Dr. Cousins just clicked in, so we're ready to go. Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com, hour two of our little show. Now we just clicked off. Okay, that's not what we want. Well, Dr. Cousins is quite an interesting fellow. He has so many books, and he's been teaching about natural lifestyle and education and diet, nutrition, spiritual stuff for so many years. Talks a lot about world peace, global community, uplifting individual and consciousness. Tree of Life Foundation is his main website. Tree of Life Foundation is his main website. He's an MD, ND, diplomat, Ayurveda diplomat, American Board of Holistic Medicine. Watch so many books. There is a cure for diabetes, conscious eating, spiritual nutrition, rainbow green life food cuisine, creating peace by being peace, Torah as a guide to enlightenment, depression free. You can also see drcousins.com, the Tree of Life. Tell us about your life. How is your life there? Are you in the Tree of Life Foundation, right? And is that in Southwest? Right.
Let me ask you a question, Patrick. Are we on air right now?
We are on the air live. Yes, we are.
Okay. Well, let me just start with a little prayer, which is merging the heart and the mind. Okay.
Cool.
Which is really key to understanding holistic veganism and really life. Here it goes. L'shem yikud k'dushar bihu u'shehinte b'ilu ar'imu l'ayat jem yuki b'vavke b'yudu shem shem k'zreel kolam amin. Okay, so feel that merging connection of heart and mind, and we become one holistic being ready to partake in holistic veganism.
Talk about, what did you just do there? Was that a various mantra, a chair, a chant?
It's actually a prayer.
Yeah.
That is bringing unity, and it's unity in the cosmic sense, heavens and earth, which is what holistic veganism does, but it's also unity within ourselves. When we have unity within ourselves, then we start to have people having unity with each other. So it's kind of multiple levels. But the idea is when people split their heart and their mind, they can get stuck in their mind and be so intellectual that they can't. They're just in their theory, or they can be in their heart, and they're just in their emotions and their reactions and feeling that's what's the truth. And the truth is neither mind or heart is really truth. It's a combination of the two, the integration, the way our bodies are really put together. 40% of our heart actually has neurons in it.
Really?
So literally, we are hooking all that up. And that's why it's so important, and particularly in today's world where people are reacting emotionally only or only mental theory, you know, let's bring it together so there's a unity. And that takes us into, in a sense, holistic veganism. But yeah.
This unity has to happen with you and I and everybody listening and then go outward rather than trying to make the world more unified.
Yeah, because once it's within ourselves, then that unity starts to radiate outward like a global mind shift. Now, what we're doing at the Tree of Life is my work has shifted to reaching outward more, like with your show, and so I'm seeing individual clients here. We have a meditation retreat coming up March 21st on the equinox. And we're spreading our diabetes prevention programs around the world. We have 26 programs now in 12 countries.
Well, so, what's the difference between, you say, veganism, we know what that is, and then holistic veganism. There is another step upwards from just eating a vegan diet?
Yes. It's a great question. So to me, holistic veganism is about the consciousness of sanctifying ourselves and creating holiness for ourselves in the act of eating. So we're eating, and our eating then becomes a sacrament where we're consciously understanding we're affecting many, many areas of life. And that's like the key concept. You know, we're talking about improving mental health, and we're in spiritual health, physical health, environmental health. It's really interesting that the highest percentage of people who, you know, have chosen to be vegan has to do with animal cruelty. So obviously that's a really, really, really important thing. Mm-hmm. And then after that, we talk about protecting the environment. And these are huge issues that are all part of the holistic veganism. And then after that, we're talking about, animal cruelty is 69%. People have that. 53% of the people are looking at physical health as their prime reason. And 51% are looking at environmental health. And after that, about 47% are looking at spiritual health. So there are different parts of the whole story. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the key understanding is people eat for different reasons, choose to be vegan. That in itself is holistic, but actually being vegan cuts across and supports all these areas of life, okay? And I'm going to say, not only does it preserve personal health, vitality, and energy, and the data's out, and it's kind of simple, but really if you go with a vegan diet, you're going to have 32% less heart attacks. If you're going to go with a vegan diet, taking obviously meat out, you're going to cut your colon cancer down by, 25%. These are rough ideas. Nobody's data is that accurate. If you go vegan, you're going to end up cutting prostate cancer rate from 3 points. Meat eaters are 3.6 times higher cancer of the prostate. Women, breast cancer is 4 times higher. High blood pressure for meat eaters is 26% versus 2% for vegans. I mean, it's the full spectrum. Diabetes, a meat eater will have 35 to 50% more type 2 diabetes. So down the line, it makes a big difference in terms of health, but there's more to it than just health. Eating lower in the food chain actually protects your sperm and ovum. In other words, and what I mean is we're down now to, for men, and there's a reason for this, men are at the limit. When I say the limit, that of going sterile, like 50%, the sperm count is down 50%. Why? Well, one of the reasons is the pesticides and herbicides that are used in the environment destroy the sperm. Now, here's the key. According to the CDC, 95 to 96% of the pesticides and herbicides, and those are also ones including those that are killing sperm, are in meat. And when I mean meat, fish, chicken, and dairy, okay? So when we eat lower on the food chain, meaning vegan, we are significantly less exposed to these, in a sense, spermicidal pesticides and herbicides, which are so much in the environment. So by eating lower in the food chain, we protect ourselves tremendously. A vegetarian woman do better and more fertile that way too than meat-eating women. But a vegetarian woman only has 1 to 2% of pesticides and herbicides in her breast milk as a meat-eating woman. So these are very, very significant. Yeah, it's really impressive.
Really, 1% of a meat-eating woman as opposed 1% of the pesticides in the breast milk. That's pretty impressive.
It's very impressive.
Very.
Like, oh, my goodness. Okay. And then we feed the hungry. See, a lot of food goes to feeding the animal world. About two-thirds of the corn, roughly speaking, of the grain and corn and also soy feeds the animal. If we didn't do that, if everybody went vegan, we would have enough food available to feed the world seven times over. So right now we have, the statistics vary, from 20 to 60 million people starving to death each year. We're looking at 42,000 kids starving to death each day. All that would be prevented if we had moved to a predominantly vegan diet on the world level. And those are huge statistics, and they're very real, okay? So, hey, looking just at that, we're preserving life. We're feeding the hungry, but we're preserving life on the planet. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm really interested about, it feels like we spend lifetimes just eating just because, I don't know, we eat and... But there's something you said about sacred and, you know, we've been kind of taught to chew a lot, remember, you know, in the natural field for a long time, you know, chew your food and all that. But there must be something very special in the nowness of time to chew and to eat and to be aware of what you're eating as a sacrament kind of thing that you mentioned. Talk a little bit about that, because... I don't think we've ever really been taught about this in our culture this lifetime.
So there's simple ways. If we just see our meals as a time to stop and focus on being present, and, you know, blessing our food before and also after. Okay, I do a prayer before and also after, giving thanks to the food, to God for giving us the food. We then create a mealtime as a sacred space. And so it's a whole attitude is that mealtime is a sacred space. It's a meditative time. Not that we're physical, we're actually meditating, but it's a meditative time. So if people look at that in their lives using that mealtime as a sacred space to take a break from the busyness of the world, then we're in the sanctification and creating the wholeness. It's a mind space.
Yeah.
And so if you go with that program of, okay, now I'm going to eat, let me go into a positive mind space here, you're protected.
And the effect on the body or the benefits or downsides doing it the opposite way, I don't think don't really know for sure, but it's got to be there, right? Of what you know, what this food is doing for us in that moment.
Yes, because, and again, when we think holistically, it's like part of it is, okay, there's holiness. Part of it, by the eating vegan, we're upgrading and supporting the web of life on the planet. And we think of that. You know, hey, and this meal doesn't cause violence and death and cruelty to animals, right? Oh, this is really good for my health. And guess what? I'm also helping the environment, you know, in a major way. If you're a vegan, you're saying, great, I am now saving 1.5 million gallons of water a year in a world where water's a shortage. Wow, look what I just did. And I am now saving a tremendous amount of earth because a vegan diet really only takes 2% of the arable land, whereas a meat-eating diet, it's like 33%. So I just saved the environment. I just saved the land. I just saved the water in terms of air. Guess what? I'm not polluting it with, you know, ammonia, okay? Because we're not getting all the feces from all the animals. I'm not polluting the rivers. Wow. I'm just sitting here eating my plant-based diet, and I have just cut down a tremendous amount of stress on the planet. So those are, you know, that brings a certain peace. And then we're communing with God, because this is the God-Eden diet. This is what God told Adam and Eve, that the herbs and the greens, basically vegetables and fruits and nuts and seeds will be your food. So, hey, now we're aligning with a divine directive. And my work with spiritual nutrition is about what's the best diet that supports spiritual life. And there's no doubt about it that a minimum a vegan diet, because there's no death. You're not eating death. You're not taking on victim consciousness. What do I mean? Well, you kill an animal, that pain, misery, and victim is in the meat. That energy is there, and if you eat it, you're taking it into yourself.
And so then it has to be dispersed, or we have to work that out somehow.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or if we don't, and we create more problems for ourselves.
Now, you're an MD, a diplomat, an Ayurveda, I mean, psychiatrist, homeopath. You've studied this stuff a lot over many years. Is there any, there's so many people out there, Dr. Cousins, that say, well, you know, you just can't make it as a vegan or a vegetarian because you really need to have animal fats and, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know it. It's all out there, right? You hear it all the time. Is there any science behind those kind of statements?
Well, I think a way to...
Our reality. Let me use the word reality. I mean, science. Yeah, who knows what science, right?
But here's the key concept. Everyone, whether you're a meat eater or a vegan, is deficient in B12.
Huh.
Now, let me qualify it. So, at the optimal levels of B12, about 80% of meat eaters and maybe 90% of vegans are B12 deficient. So, as I wrote in my book, Conscious Eating, everyone needs to take a B12 supplement. You can't say, oh, vegans are low in B12. No, everyone is.
Hmm.
Okay? Or let's say 80% of meat eaters, which means unless you're actually checking your B12, monitoring it, you need to take a B12 supplement. So that makes a point. Now, vitamin A is the same thing. Everyone's deficient, or let's say about 75% of people are deficient in vitamin A. Okay, that's meat eaters and vegans.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now let's look at vitamin D, same thing. It just depends. 70% are deficient in some studies in vitamin D in the U.S. Around the world, it's about 50%. But the point is, whether you're a meat eater or a vegan, there's a high percentage of deficiency. Everyone I see needs to take a vitamin D level of supplement, which is important for all levels of health, as well as anti-cancer, and protects against diabetes. So that's good. Now, in 1936, the U.S. Congress, for whatever reason they were doing it, 99% of all Americans were deficient in minerals.
Yeah, I remember that one, yeah.
Now, vegans get more minerals in their food from a plant-based diet. That's important. Meat eaters, in general, what the research shows, are significantly more deficient in B3, B6, calcium, and magnesium. So all those for meat eaters are much higher level deficiency as compared to vegans. Vitamin C. Everybody's a little low in vitamin C, but because in your vegetables and your fruits, the vitamin C also comes with other factors, people who are vegan are going to be less deficient. So now we're getting an idea that there are deficiencies with everything, but basically vegans are going to be less deficient, particularly in the B vitamins and in the minerals, and the and also the phytonutrients. They're much, much higher in the vegan diet. So let's talk about protein, because people say you need your protein. And the truth is, we, according to our chromosome 19, it says how much protein, how much fat, how much carbohydrate we need. So I've had to work this out because I do it according to the constitution. And vegans with protein concentrates, those who need a high amount of protein, low protein people, they don't need any supplements about protein. But people need a higher amount, and the optimum is between 35 and 70 grams. That's the optimum that stimulates longevity. So people need a low amount of protein, 35 grams a day. Everybody gets that. You can't miss. But people need higher. I do feel people need to take some protein concentrate supplements. One tablespoon three times a day is some kind of spirulina, chlorella, or there's lots of protein concentrates. So if you're a person in your constitution that needs a higher amount, then that's what you do need to do that.
You like the spirulina and chlorella the best for those people?
Well, they're really good, but you got hemp.
Yeah, hemp protein.
Protein concentrate, yeah, pumpkin seed protein concentrate. You have rice protein concentrate. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you do need to adjust if you're a person who's higher. Now, what people get into arguments is like, okay, let me see if I can say it right. If you're a low protein need person, and that's 30% of the population, then you don't need anything. So the problem we see is low protein need people are saying, well, you don't need any protein. Well, yeah, for 30%, 70% do need to take, if you're vegan, do need to take some protein supplement, just like everybody needs to take B12. And everybody, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. So
the different constitutions, whether you're a meat eater or not, is what we're looking at, whether you need protein or not. Now, I'm going to say something else. It also varies with age. Now, I'll give you an example. I'm going to give you two examples. So what we know in the studies on men around in their mid-40s to let's say, 60 years old, is if they are eating an excess of protein, they're going to double their rate of mortality and quadruple their rate of cancer. So there are actually some real dangers to eating too much protein, which is kind of what most people do. Now, when you're 65, then there's an increase in need of protein. So my second example is that for myself, as a pretty athletic person, I was doing pull-ups, and I couldn't seem to crack 25 pull-ups.
That's a lot, 25. That's a lot.
Well,
I mean, you're pretty strong if you can do 25.
Yeah, but I wanted to do more. And then I came across the data about, hey, you need more protein after 65. Now, I was doing about 10%, which is perfect for my constitution, but at 65, I needed a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And I added one tablespoon of E3 Live.
Yeah.
And I really jumped in 2 weeks to 50 pull-ups, and I made it up eventually.
That's crazy. You mean that's double with just a tablespoon of E3 Live?
Because I'm doing it to the fine point.
Yeah, you're really geeking it out, aren't you?
Yeah, so I'm looking and I'm studying myself. Huh. I mean, what's your best thing is study yourself,
sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So here I am I'm older now, but or let's say my chronological age is 75. So,
Yeah. Okay,
I'm doing 80 pull-ups, and I can do hundreds and hundreds of push-ups. In other words, you have to stay in shape. But the vegan diet isn't really, it supports that. What we know is the research back to 1917 at Yale was that vegetarian non-athletes versus meat-eating athletes, the vegetarian non-athletes, and they confuse the word vegetarian vegan, so I'm just using their word, they had 2 to 3 times the amount of endurance. They had 5 times quicker recovery time. Okay, 2 to 3 times the amount of endurance and a 5-fold quicker recovery time. Well, that's pretty good for non-athletes who are vegan. So it makes a huge difference in terms of your athletic ability is really eating lower in the food chain. And there are many Olympic champions who were, you know, like Paavo Nurmi, the flying Finn, who won all the long distance running, and certain high hurdler people. And so the point is, you can really be it enhances your athletic ability, your strength, and also your endurance, which are really important.
Is it the amount of prana, or whatever you want to call it, divine spirit that's in these plant-based diet that you're getting that's making everything move, or is it that you're not taking in the energy of an animal, and, or both combined?
I think it's a really good question. I think it's both. Mm-hmm. You're getting a tremendous amount of life force, and you're also not getting the energy of death.
Yeah. So even if you can't feel that, you think folks that do eat meat, they're downgrading their energy a bit, even if it doesn't feel like it?
Well, until you know what it's like to have lots of energy.
Yeah, you don't know.
You don't know. And when you know what's having lots of energy, then you clearly know when you do something that's going to make you sluggish.
Yeah. You can feel it, can't you? You can just feel it.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Dr. Gabriel Cousins is with us, and if you have a question or something, join us, patrick@oneradionetwork.com. So, you know, you do all these push-ups and pull-ups and all that, but you're still kind of, your latest picture, it's still kind of trim. I mean, do you just have, how is it your weight, and do you build muscle with all this plant food and doing all these exercises?
Well, the answer is I consider myself on a maintenance exercise. I just exercise, I mean, this kind of exercise twice a week.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And if I were to do building muscle, I would go to 3 or 4 times a week, and I would do maybe some weights as well, because you can really do that. That's my goal. My goal is to be flexible as well.
Yeah.
So much muscle, you can't be so flexible. So I'm doing yoga every day, and it's like I'm more interested in flexibility. With a chronological age, you tend to lose your flexibility, you tend to lose your strength, unless you're working on your strength and working on your flexibility. So I do that on a regular basis at a maintenance level. This is the key concept. So I'm at a leaner level. My weight stayed the same. My weight is the same as it was really in high school.
Really the same.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. How tall are you, and how much do you weigh?
So I'm about 5'10 and a half, maybe getting taller because I'm doing certain things that elongate the spine. Most people shrink, but I think I'm getting taller, maybe 5'11, and I weigh 160.
Huh.
162. 160 to 162.
Uh-huh, yeah. And do you eat, does it matter for you if it's raw or cooked plant food?
Yes. When you cook food, you lose 60 to 70% of the vitamins and minerals and 95% of the phytonutrients and about 50% of the protein. So, plus a considerable amount of the life force energy, as you said earlier, of the prana. When you cook it, it loses its prana. So I'm 99% live food in the live food vegan in my base. And I find the good news is you don't have to eat much. I literally, besides a little, just a very little bit of goji berries in the morning and a little teeny in that, I just have one meal a day, which is primarily a salad. I eat about 2 o'clock, maybe 2 to 3 o'clock.
And you maintain this strength, flexibility, and your weight just eating a little bit of breakfast or a little bit of this and that and then a big salad, and that's it. And you maintain it.
Yeah, I mean, I have nuts and seeds, but yes, that's it. And here's my advice to everyone. You want to, once you hit your optimum weight, which I am at, that's the point. Optimum as I was in high school. Then you want to eat to maintain that weight. You don't want to lose weight, and you don't want to gain weight. So you have to regulate your eating in terms of, okay, it's not an opinion. Here's my optimal weight. I want to stay there.
Here's my body, and this is what it likes, right? This is what it likes.
Yeah, that's it. And that's what I do to, do it. I've titrated it down to say, well, I just need... Most people are eating too much food, really.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
There's a, for example, the protein. It's called the mTOR pathway. And basically, it's the longevity pathway and anti-cancer pathway. And you need to stay between 35 grams to 70 grams of protein a day. People who need more, which I call fast oxidizers, is the physiology, 70 grams. I mean, that's not very much.
Yeah, it's not really, is it?
And 35, 40 grams is... if you call the slow exercise, it's not a lot. But it's optimal. Because mTOR pathway is a genetic pathway. It gives you anti-cancer and enhances longevity. So you want to eat optimally. So most people are just getting too much protein.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, the
talk
problem.
Talk about fats and the role in all of this.
Okay. Animal fat has some big downsides. It's toxic to the beta cells of the pancreas. And I do a lot of work with diabetes. I'm just going to divert a little bit. Say it isn't just sugar, high fructose glucose, but it's high animal fat. And I didn't say vegetable fat because it isn't. The research is animal fat is specifically toxic to the beta cells of the pancreas, which, make your insulin. And the worst offender is fish fat. Fish fat is specifically most toxic to the beta cells of the pancreas. Research out of Europe is saying people eat fish twice a week really have significantly more degeneration of the beta cells of the pancreas and blood sugar dysregulations. So that's kind of what we're talking about. So, but you need a certain amount of fat. And we need particularly the long-chain omega-3s. Okay? DHA and EPA. DHA is the bigger player, and I will take a supplement for that. And I'll just point out that about 90 to 95% of pregnant women are deficient in DHA EPA. Why is that important? And I'm talking about a meat-eating woman. That's the study was done. But I think vegan women, too, are probably deficient. That's important because the baby needs it for brain development and eye development and neurological development. It's extremely important.
So how many milligrams of these guys do you like?
Well, I go with what I like during the day. Total for the day is DHA is 1,200,
wow.
And EPA is higher than most people think, but that's what the research shows, okay? That's how I chose that, because I can't honestly feel it so clearly. And then 400 to 600 of EPA.
Oh, that's less than the DHA.
Yeah,
okay.
It's. I'm going to say it's like a 3-to-1 ratio of what you want, but these long-chain omega-3s are so critical for longevity, for health, for women, it decreases your tendency to during pregnancy to lose the baby from 21% down to 5%. If you have adequate EPA and DHA, you only have 5% loss of the baby during pregnancy versus 21% if you're low. And again, 90-95% of women, pregnant women, are low. About 50-70% of everyone, vegans and meat eaters, are deficient in your long chain omega-3s.
And how do you get a vegan source of those, guys?
Yellow algae. Fish eat the yellow algae, and that's how they get their omega-3s that people go for. And they get it from the yellow algae.
I'll be doing.
So we just jump ahead there, you know?
Yeah. So you're not even, I guess you're not a fan then of the krill as opposed to cod liver oil, krill oil?
No, because there are some problems, because all those are still going to be toxic. And even DHA EPA, the newest research is showing the DHA EPA from fish is still going to be toxic to the beta cells of the pancreas. Remember, I do a lot of work on diabetes. That's
right.
Why I kind of have a microscopic vision here. It's like, okay, what really works? And the yellow algae is what worked. And somehow the krill and fish oils tend to be, toxic to the beta cells of the pancreas.
So there's actually products out there where you can just buy and eat yellow algae and in liquid or capsules or whatever?
There is. I use Omega Zen. I'm not promoting any company. I'm just saying that's the one I use. There's one other company out there that I just heard of the other day. They're the two good ones.
Omega Zen. And it's in a little capsule thing?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool. So, E3 Live, you mentioned that. Gosh, that's been around forever, hasn't it? What's that big fancy word for it, Doc?
Alpha-flanazon.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It's only from Klamath Lake, and they actually do have some EPA and DHA, but actually for vegans and meat eaters, it's hard to get it all from your diet, to be honest. You know, the research is saying, hey, you need a certain level to be optimal for brain function. It cuts stress down by 50% in students. It it protects you from too much cortisol-based stress, and thinking processes are better. Your mind is calmer. There's some really, really good things they've done with college students taking tests, taking EPA, DHA, or not. So it's the research is pretty good on it, and pretty much everybody, unfortunately, it's hard to get it from your diet.
Do you think in general then if we stray away from what you're talking about, a more denser food or dairy or meat, that this might be a kind of a geeky spiritual question, but do you think it's more difficult for soul to realize that we are not these thoughts and we are not this and we don't identify with the mind? Do you think that's part of the spiritual part of it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a great question. What happens, and this is one of the things I mentioned at the very beginning of our talk, your mind gets clearer, and my experience is people doing a plant-based diet are more spiritually motivated. That's why it's the recommended diet around the world. You go look at the Vedic masters, look at the Essenes, look at the Taoist masters. They all talk about eating, not eating meat because you're taking the pain, misery. One of my teachers, Swami Prakashananda, said, when you eat meat, you're taking on the pain, misery, and suffering of the animal into yourself. And that pain, misery, and suffering comes out in terms of affecting your mental state, but also your physical health. So it's a very clear yogic teaching. That's why it's recommended not to eat meat. There's only one tradition that does meat eating, and I'll just say that the general thing from plate to wine is that when you're eating meat, you're going to tend to be more aggressive and not as inward. In the yogic tradition, we talk about a sattvic diet. What is that? It's a vegan with a little bit of dairy at that point in history because they didn't have B12 supplements, you know, and that helps you go more inward. It quiets the mind. When you're eating meat, you're eating, in a sense, the agitated soul, pain, misery of the animal, and it agitates the mind.
Well said.
Now, one more thing. My research with Kundalini was that meat, fish, chicken, and dairy actually clog what we call the nadis, which are the channels through which the Kundalini goes, and act as a sludge to the flow of the Kundalini. Kundalini is a spiritualizing force that we have within us. When it's awakened, begins to spiritualize our whole being and leads us to liberation. So there are some big reasons why eating meat isn't so good for us.
Here's an email from Cynthia. Can Dr. Cousins tell us what B12 supplement is his favorite? Because I want to get some after hearing this. All right, so you got some people want to get some B12. Can you help us there? Your opinions?
I'm going to give a kind of a detailed answer because it's a very important question. So there are synthetic B12s, and there's what we call B12 that actually is human. Here's the word, human active B12. So there's B12 analogs. That's why if you get a blood test for B12, you're mostly testing analogs. There is a test that tells you your adequacy of human active B12. It's a urine test, methylmalonic acid test. Why am I mentioning it? I'm mentioning it so people should know there really is a difference. So you want human active B12 grown by bacteria. So I take a B-based thing that's all bacteria-grown B vitamins, which includes the human active B12. So that's the key word, human active B12, made from bacteria. And that's what you specifically need. Otherwise, you're getting mostly analogs.
And where do people find that? Where are listeners going to want some of this stuff if you mention it?
Okay. So there is, in fact, we probably visited when I was in Austin with you, but PR Labs is one place, and that's in Austin.
Oh, you mean Dr. Marshall's?
Yes.
The probiotic B12 he has. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so they have individual B12, but mostly people are, particularly if you're a meat eater, you're going to be low in B3, B6 anyway. And then there's another group, it's Vitamin B Code. It's another human active B12. I mean, a few people know about these things. So that's, it's called Vitamin B Code. We do carry both at the Tree of Life.
Okay.
One is a capsule, one is a liquid. People vary in how they want things. You know, another one, which we also carry, is the Pure Synergy and by Mitchell May. And those, you know, these are very conscious groups. You know, Dr. Marshall, who's unfortunately no longer alive.
Yeah, he was on it. He was on it, though.
Totally on it. You know, he totally got what was going down. So basically, those three companies are the ones that I work with because I know they're organic and they're food source B12. They're not synthetic.
Yeah, well, that's interesting you mentioned that. And God love him. He was quite an interesting fellow. And boy, the lengths that he went through too. Remember that he used to test things coming in from other countries to make sure that they weren't toxic. And
and actually, they had the amount that they said they had.
Yeah, right.
He was very fastidious, which is good.
Yeah,
being fastidious is really good for your health.
it totally is. It totally. 888-663-6386. Email patrick@oneradionetwork.com if you'd like to ask a question. This is a good question. David said, "I've tried to do eat raw food vegan, but I just can't seem to make it on salads, and I just don't even digest salads very well. What could be going on?"
Well, there are two issues, and First, we have to do it according to our Constitution, the mTOR pathway. He's probably a person that needs a higher amount. He's a 70% of the population. It needs a higher amount of protein. So he probably needs to have a protein supplement, like I mentioned, the different, I'm trying not to promote brands, but they're all over the place. You can go in any health food store and you can see a variety and you find what makes you happy, okay? And I rarely see people need more than 2 tablespoons 3 times a day. That's the most generally we ever see. For me, I said my one was just 1 tablespoon. That's it. So we are going to vary. The second thing is it's important to chew well because that's where the big digestive factor is. So if you really chew your live food well, you'll do better. Now, it is more energy. We're getting more energy, but we have to put a little energy in there. And sometimes, depending on age, you do need to take, you benefit from taking a digestive enzyme, which I recommend for most people over at this point, age of 40, because their digestive enzymes and their hydrochloric acid tends to decrease earlier and earlier. So those may be 2 things that are showing up for him. But the first thing I would do is chew. Chew. That's the most important.
Chew a lot. What do you think about hemp protein? You had mentioned it earlier. There seems to be some good ones out there, as opposed to a rice or bean or pumpkin seed. Any ideas on that?
I don't see them that different. I think people have to find what they do best with, and they're happy. My approach is you better be. You want to be happy with what you're doing. It should taste good. You want to be positive because, remember, this is you're sanctifying, you're in holiness. You don't want to be eating anything that doesn't taste good because it creates a negative effect to us. There is one thing I'd like to point out that most people don't know where about for meat eaters. There's a few things, but one is CAFO, confined animal feeding operations, that's 95% of meat people get. The research is showing that a high percentage of those animals are infected with a protein or prion type thing called TDP-43. And people eating CAFO meats have 3 times more Alzheimer's and a whole lot more cognitive decline. So I'm just making a point. It's a rather important point. And also, if there are higher levels of TDP-43 in their system, they're 10 times more likely to have thinking problems and memory loss. So these are just a few details that most people don't know about. So anything, you know, that's CAFO, which is pretty much anything, it's 95% of the food. That's something to really think about. The second thing I want to point out that most people aren't aware is that meat is high in leucine and methionine. Now, and so, what's the problem? The problem is, plant-based is way lower. The problem is leucine accelerates the aging process. It disrupts the, and secondarily is methionine, it actually attacks the beta cells of the pancreas, which would explain why meat eaters have 35 to 50% more type 2 diabetes. So meat, all meat has leucine, it's higher in methionine, is going to decrease your longevity, which is a fact. I'm just explaining why it's a fact. So just a little things to understand. So animal protein restriction is more important than calorie restriction.
Kerry writes in, he's from Washington State. I'm wondering if I eat a totally organic diet from the health food stores, not grown myself. Does Dr. Cousins think that I'm getting the amount of minerals that I need, and would there be a way I can check that?
Well, there are tests to check it, but remember, it's individualized. So the answer... they did a combining of all the organic studies and so forth, and it comes down to you get 25% more nutrition going organic. okay, you get significantly more antioxidants in going organic, and you get significantly more minerals. But 25% is the average, you know, that if you combine everything together, and some are higher than others in terms of minerals, think 25% more, you're going to be roughly pretty accurate.
Mm-hmm. How does fruit play a role in your patients, in your life, and for our listeners? Important to have them in there?
I see, in our highly sugared world, and basically carbohydrates speed up, or you get four, after the age of 70, you get four times higher rate of cognitive decline with a high carbohydrate diet. That's kind of a statement. I think fruit's a fine thing. It's not a big part of my diet. There are some high-level fruits that don't affect your blood sugars or affect you, and blueberries are the number one player, bilberries and green apples. So those are the big ones where you're not overloading with too much fructose. Fructose does cause a problem, and I'll only say two things about it that are like more stark, is that cancer cells love glucose 10 times more than regular cells do, but and they love fructose 10 times more than they love glucose.
Hmm, interesting.
Okay. The second thing is fructose has just definitely been shown to inflame the glia cells of the brain, and they're really important. They're the scavengers and the cleaner up of the brain function. So we do get brain inflammation with higher levels of fructose. What's safe? Somewhere between 15 to 25 milligrams a day, which is like one or two bananas or a few kiwis. That keeps you in the, if you go above that, then you're creating excess of fructose. So there are some concerns about the excess of fructose. There are some people, according to their genetics, and I think it's a small percentage, who definitely can do a fruitarian diet. And again, your constitution, we're all different. And that's the key. We have 20 to 30,000 genes and maybe 200,000 gene variations. And we're not the same. We're not a bunch of cows here. We're not. We're different. And so you have to eat according to your constitution. And so some people can have more fruit than others, but the point I'm making is really 15 to 25% is really a high level of fruit in your diet for most people.
Other than the fact that it's cooked, if just from an objective point of, say, organic brown rice or jasmine or basmati and the mung dal and, you know, the classic khichdi in Ayurveda, which I know that you studied.
Khichdi.
Yeah. Do you think it's a reasonable food for people if they want to have something cooked?
Well, I don't know about reasonable. It's a different kind of term. But
yeah, well, use whatever term you want.
So in terms of cooked food, I tend to go with the beans and the lentils.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna cook, but you have to cook those.
Sure.
You can make all the grains with hot water without really cooking it.
Really? Really?
Yeah. Huh. You put it in the thermos. We have a formula for that. So you can really do that. But of the different things, I would go with the beans and lentils because you're not upping your carbohydrate. Grains really do up the carbohydrate, and that's why the book came out called Grain Brain.
Yeah, Grain Brain. Yeah.
And what he was pointing out is what the Taoists knew also in 475 B.C., that's how long ago they knew this, is that the statement is if you're eating grains, you're going to block your spiritual evolution, roughly speaking. They said it more poetically, but that's the key. So grains tend to dull your spiritual awareness. That being said, Some people, according to their constitution, will do better with grains. And those are people who are known as Vata people. I'm a Kapha. I don't really have any grains, you know, for a variety of reasons, but it's not really good for my constitution. So there's variations in the discussion. So if you're a Vata person and you feel out of balance, grains may turn out to be, in the moment, balancing. But in the long run, you have to be aware of the grain-brain effect.
This is a great question from George. Does Dr. Cousins have an opinion on the use of psychedelics or other psychoactive drugs like cannabis or ayahuasca, whatever, for helping spiritual evolution?
Well, it's a good question. It's a pretty common question.
Yeah, I bet you get it a lot.
I get it a lot. And my spiritual teacher, Swami Muktananda, used to have a trophy case because once you're really meditating and the Kundalini's awakening, those things actually undermine you, you know, all the drugs. Now, what we do see for some people is that who are stuck in the physical plane, it can open the door to the astral plane. You have visions, you have this and that. But it can also put a ceiling on it if you stay using them to go to the higher planes, which is the planes where we're talking about liberation and higher levels.
Way above the astral. Yeah, way above the astral. Yeah.
So in a sense, it's an opening, but unfortunately, they actually tend to hurt the brain in the long run. So what do I mean by that? Well, I have actual pictures, spec scan pictures, where people who have marijuana even for 2 or 3 years actually have brain deterioration. Now, and that goes with most of the drugs. They don't have the research on ayahuasca. And, you know, again, the plant deva, which is what ayahuasca is, you know, is still the energy of the astral plane. And when I've had some of my students do serious research on it for their master's thesis, and, you know, people who are Brazilians and so forth, and they're interviewing people, and generally people's experiences are primarily at the astral plane. And there are some downsides that most people don't talk about, but it is talked about in different books, and different shamans will tell you this. You do have the danger of picking up entities. And that's something that is actually more common than people think. I mean, even with cannabis. There are a lot of downsides, but there are no downsides if you meditate and you do your yoga and you do your breathing. You will progress spiritually to higher and higher planes. And that's the sure, steady way.
Yeah.
I'll put it that way.
Okay, before we go, and I know, so let's talk a little bit about this that I know you're very interested and concerned about before you go here this morning, is with Dr. Gabriel Cousins, is this 5G thing. What's your overall take on what's going on here?
How did you know I was interested in that?
Oh, I think you're... fellow that I set this up with, he told me about it.
Oh, okay.
Yahshua.
I've been at Yehoshua. I've been doing some research on it, and it's actually, I'm happy to come back and talk about it because it's a really important thing. I can't do it in 5 minutes. But what I can say is, and I'm going to talk in a way that most people haven't heard, but the 5G as they're planning it is extremely harmful to the survival of the human species. It disrupts the Schumann resonance, which we need, which we're aligned with, which keeps us healthy, which is the resonance of the Earth in relationship to the atmosphere, to the ionosphere. It has serious health downsides because of this disruption of the Schumann resonance. And that's increased cancer, increased heart disease, increased diabetes, increased all the chronic diseases, decreased mental function, disorganizing the spiritual life, and it's not needed. Actually, for smartphones and smart cars, that illusion of convenience versus the very serious health aspects are that you can't compare it. It's an ethics question. Now, I mean, do you want a smartphone or, you know, Internet of Things, or do you want to have a healthy body and a well-functioning mind? Many, many scientists, thousands of scientists, in one petition, there's over 33,000 scientists have come out against this, in the sense that this is untested, but it actually has been tested. We know what 3G, 4G does. This is 100 times stronger, but it creates more ionospheric disruption, which is throwing off the planet and the humans that are aligned with the planet and animal life and plant life. So it's a complete disaster, and they know this. This is not me exaggerating. The research is out there. There's over 10,000 studies just on the health parts alone. So we have a huge potential problem that we need to address and not let them proceed with the 5G, which, again, is 100 times worse, and it's actually a different level of negative potency. So it's almost diabolic knowing, and the research is there, knowing what it's going to do to the humans and to the planet, to the atmosphere, and to the plant world.
So you and others have a serious problem. You and others have seen that it's not just it's more, you know, three or four up another notch. There's something else kind of spiritually weird, wonky going on with this. Diabolical is a good term.
And people who are promoting it, when you know, they know all these things, okay? They're not illiterate. They know that this is what's going on. They've been given this research information, a wide spectrum. It's throwing the whole planet, it's potentially going to throw the whole planet into resonance disorder. The Schumann resonance is what kind of keeps things in order. So most people don't talk about that level. They just see the health, negative health aspects, which of course are the result of all that. But we're talking in a much bigger way and really undermining people's spiritual evolution, because we're not even tuned into the Schumann resonance anymore, into the God frequency, because it disrupts that and unravels our DNA, which again is demonic, because you're unraveling the human DNA. That is not good for anyone.
Yeah.
So it's hugely important. I'm actually writing a today I'm going to be writing a paper on it. It's so big, but we have to understand it's a planetary disruptor, and that results in very poor health for people.
Well, when this paper is finished and published, maybe we could publish it or help you in some way, and you come back on and really dig into it if you'd like.
Well, I'll send it to you. It's not going to be a published paper. It won't be footnoted and all that, but it will be a statement about it where I put it all together, because the detriment to the ionosphere and disruption of the Schumann resonance is affecting all life on the planet. So you can say, you know, we're talking about plant life, animal life, insect life. Every level will be disrupted by this. It's huge.
A listener sent me 5gspaceappeal.org, and I guess this is something people can sign. If your Yahshua has some other links to places, we could put this on your show page if we could get our listeners to maybe sign in. And
I will send you the links. A lot of petitions are out there.
Good, yeah.
The biggest thing is the education, and I will say, when I say it's demonic, you'd have to only be in a demonic mindset to push this with all the data. And they're just not listening. You know, because you're going to get, you know, Internet of Things and your dishwasher is going to speak to you. It's like,
sure.
Or a smart car. This is just an illusion to confuse people. Like, it's a huge downside. It will ultimately so vastly undermine humanity besides health. It will undermine our mental functioning. It's a very serious, very serious attack on humanity. And I'm going to use the word attack because there's no other justification or reason to be doing that, a demonic attack. So that's how bad we're talking about.
Okay, well, we'll keep in touch on it. Dr. Gabriel Cousins, I'm going to just give you a couple plugs for a few things. I think you're still doing, is it true, you have limited time for new patients at drcousins.com?
I am still seeing new patients that may close out in the next few weeks, but this is the time to get in. So I can, you know,
DrCousins.com. You're also doing a 3-day meditation intensive, which is in the end of March, that people can look at.
Starting on the equinox, March 21st, 2nd, and 23rd.
And that's going to be where? At your foundation, which is where?
At the Tree of Life in Patagonia, Arizona.
Arizona. DrCousins.
In the mountains. We're 4,000 feet up in the mountains. Now we're south of Tucson.
And then you also do your own satsangs, every Tuesday and Thursday at 6:30 Mountain Time. How do people do that? Is that treeoflifefoundation.org, right?
And they can just tune into it. And they can just do DrCousins, .com or treeoflifefoundation.org. It comes out of the foundation. And I usually have a talk, and we have a meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Right now it's at 6:15, which is approximately sunset time here. And we'll probably tend to keep it close to around, the sunset changes, right? So, it's better. We decided to have a set time for people so people can tune in. So right now it's 6:15. People tune in. They can meditate with us. And then I have a talk. And tonight I'm actually talking about 5G.
Oh, yeah. Digital satsang on, and you can find it both places, DrCousins.com, Tree of Life Foundation.
Usually there's spiritual topics in it, and I'm also on Instagram trying to do a 1-minute thing most of the days. And again, mostly spiritual input and some nutritional input.
Sure. Well, you're a joy to talk to. Thanks for all your work. And we love you. And thank you for being here this morning.
Well, Patrick, I appreciate the good work you're doing. And it was a great interview. And I just appreciate how clear you are about what this is all about. And we'll get back to you soon.
Yes, sir. Let's please do. Anytime. You're always welcome here.
And blessings to your good work out there.
Thank you. May the blessings be. Dr. Gabriel Cousins. That's the real deal. Well, folks, we're going to do Open Phone Friday tomorrow. I love you all very much. Thanks for your ongoing support. I really appreciate the opportunity to make a living doing this. It's just like, wow, what a blessing. And so we'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for your support, as I said, and may the blessings be.
From the Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
Okay, Patrick.
Oh, thank you, Doc. Great job. Good job. We had a good time. You know, you don't